We are recording in public session.
The time is 10:03 on April 2nd, 2020, and I'm convening this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association as a video and audio conference only in compliance to the state and local requirements implemented in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. This meeting is being conducted pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act in accordance with the association's antitrust policy. All information disclosed or discussed is to be used only for carrying out the business of the association. Proper notice of the meeting was filed March 23, 2020 and published in the Texas Register in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. A copy of the notice should be attached to the summary of the official minutes of this meeting. A quorum is present since all three members are here. Also in attendance is Shelby Batts, Jackie Rexon, Bart Bowles, Jarrett Terry, and Toppy Hagerly. And how do you say your name, Patel?
Sorry, I was muted. Hagerty.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Pocky,
that's it. Pocky Patel of Clifton Larson. And we're ready to begin.
We're out here, Dean, with item one. And that is the consent agenda.
Oh, I'm shuffling through papers. Hold on. Item one is the consent agenda, which includes the minutes of the last meeting in October. Has everyone had a chance to look at them? If so, is there a motion to approve? Was that you, Jim?
Jim, you're still not coming through. Let's wait just a minute, Dean, and make sure Jim can speak.
Do you want me to move to approve the minutes while Jim is working on his technical? Can you hear me, Bart?
Wait. Yes, I can. Okay. Well, let's just wait because we'll definitely need Jim on there. So we'll need both of you. Let's give Jim just a minute. Give Jim just a minute. Jim, you did look at your settings on BlueJean. Still not getting you. Jim, if all else fails.
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you.
Okay. For some reason, it won't let me have my external monitor attached. So I'm going to have a hard time viewing the documents. Anyhow, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion and second. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay, and the minutes passed.
Chair, Chair Frigo, excuse me. For the benefit of the recording, when we have the motion, if you could repeat motion by Director Lewis and second by Director McCandless, just so we can tell, because many of us know the voices, but in the audio recording, they do need to be identified.
Thank you. That's good advice. The next item on the agenda is consideration and possible action on the independent audit of the financial statements for the year ended December 31, 2019. First, there's a report from me on the exit interview, which I had earlier this morning. We discussed the audit. I think there were two audit adjustments. One was to add the 457 plan to the balance sheet, and the other was accrued interest on a T-bill that had matured that had to be adjusted. Other than that, there were no audit adjustments. And the footnote, the 457 was in the footnotes in last year's financials, and it'll be there again, of course, this year. That's all I have to report, unless somebody has some questions. Oh, the staff was very transparent and responsive, which we appreciate. Any questions, Patty or Jim?
No questions.
Okay, then we'll move to the next item, the report from the auditors.
Can y'all hear me?
Pardon? Yeah, we
can y'all hear me? Okay.
And Baki, as you begin, would you like the slides up on, share it on screen?
Please, that would be great. So thank you everybody for the opportunity to present the results of the 2019 financial statement audit. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Bhakti Patel. I'm an audit principal with Clifton Larson Allen. I took over from Jerry McMillan, who has been the audit partner for many years now. I took over the engagement this year's audit principal. A little bit about my background. I've done government audits my entire career, which is 17 plus years. So very familiar with government entities, GASB, not-for-profits, and that whole industry. So when Jerry and I spoke, it seemed to make sense for me to take over the engagement. So just to jump right in, I know there's a lot to cover. So the first slide, Bart, if you could move to slide two, is really the objective, things I'm gonna go over here today, the audit process and scope, some of the highlights, our next steps for finalization, and then I'll open it up to questions for anyone. Again, nothing new to what Jerry probably presented over the last few years. So we'll jump right in, Bart, if you could jump to the next slide there. So the overview of the audit process, we didn't have any issues with management. Management was prepared, they were responsive and easy to work with, and very transparent through the entire audit, giving us all the information we asked for and additional information is also. We did have two audit adjustments, which I'll go over later in one of the other slides. So just a high level overview there. Some of our deliverables, we obviously have our report on our financial statements, which is our audit opinion. We'll have our internal control communications, which I'll go over here in a few. And then we'll have our governance communication letter, our letter to the audit committee that really lays out any issues we ran into, if any, as well as the results of the audit. So that will come across your desk once we finalize. So some of the highlights, as I mentioned, we did actually have a clean opinion this year, what we call an unmodified opinion. which is the highest level of assurance a CPA firm can get. And I think the association's pretty used to having this, so that's a good thing. We had the same this year. A few of the highlights of the financial statements, and I'll go over these quickly, but if there's any questions, feel free to stop me on any of the changes. These are the operational changes that happened this year, not really tied to the audit, but really what happened this year at the association. So we saw a decrease in investments of about $2.5 million. There were several treasury bills that matured, and so we did see that fall off of the balance sheet, so which was due to the decrease. Accrued liabilities decreased about $960,000 due to the National Organization Life Health Guarantee Association quarter four bill estimate decreasing. That's historically been, it was higher last year. The Q4 bill was lower this year, which reduced the accrued liabilities in 2019. We saw estate recoveries decrease from about $1.3 million. Looking at last year, 2018, there were a few larger recoveries from, I believe it was iMerica and, check my notes here, because I can't remember the second one, and National States that were larger last year. We didn't have the same this year. I think we lost our slides, Bart.
I'm going back.
Okay.
Here we go.
So we did, there was higher estate recoveries last year, so we did see a decrease this year. There were fewer estate recoveries. Our investment income increased about $532,000, mainly due to market valuations of the treasury bills and the investments the association has. The total claims decreased $3.2 million. Last year was a little bit of a higher number. For these claims, we reviewed all of the bills and payments made to NOGA, so we essentially tested 100% of this. And there was a negative change in that position of $1.3 million versus $4.2 in the prior year, mainly because of the shift in revenues, a decrease in revenues, and the increase in expenses. As I mentioned, we had the estate recoveries, which were lower this year in the revenue section, and then we had about $1.4 million in non-operating revenues. But then we had those increases in expenses, the 1.47 in administrative expenses and the 1.7 in the National Task Force expenses. So just some ups and downs just from normal operations, nothing that was, that in my opinion was incorrect or reported incorrectly, I should say. These are just from all the normal operations going on. There were no insolvencies in 2019, which Bart threw me a softball this year as my first year on the engagement. We didn't have any insolvencies to work through this year, so it was a pretty quiet year at the association, given everything happening, of course. Some of the significant footnotes, most of these are similar to last year. Actually, all of these are. We have your membership assessments, your Class A and B assessment footnotes, proof of claims footnotes, our insurance contractual obligations, net positions and commitments and contingencies. So these are all same as last year. The footnotes obviously updated for this year. Nothing that significant that I feel needs to be pointed out in this forum. For our internal control communications, we didn't have any deficiencies in internal control that were material weaknesses. These arise, they're essentially in three levels. We can have control deficiencies, which are smaller deficiencies, and we communicate those directly to management, more of a best practice sort of thing and small things that we identify. If anything came up as a significant deficiency and if it rose to a level of material misstatement, it would rise to material weakness, we communicate that here to the audit committee. We didn't have anything that we found that was a material weakness here, and there are no significant deficiencies to report either. So here's just some of our required governance communications. Our purpose is to, for this communication is really just to follow up, give the results of our audit from our initial communications and to management and to the audit committee. From that, we didn't have any changes in the audit scope. We stuck to our plan. Nothing came up that would change our scope of the audit. We did have a new accounting standard, which we knew about at the onset of the engagement. So it wasn't anything that came up during the audit, which was GASB 84, fiduciary activities. And in a nutshell, this essentially required entities to go through their activities, identify what transactions, what activities could be fiduciary type activities, and potentially report those outside the primary government financial statements. So from management standpoint, management put together a very thorough analysis of GASB 84, running through their revenue streams and all the activities, as well as the pension plans, the 401k and the 457 plan, and identifying whether those would be reported as a fiduciary activity. We, CLA, reviewed it, looked at it, and we were in agreement with all of management's conclusions. So no significant changes to the financial statements as a result of GASB 84, and we agreed with management's conclusions on their analysis. No new accounting policies this year either, just the new accounting standard that we reviewed. We do have several estimates, which are very similar to last year, that we are in the financial statements. We're comfortable with management estimates, and we didn't feel that there's any sensitive disclosures that required any additional disclosures. Difficulties, as I mentioned at the onset of this communication, we didn't have any difficulties, no disagreements, and there were no other findings to report in the audit. We did have, as previously mentioned, we did have two adjustments that we identified, both of which were corrected, and you'll see in the financial statement. So there's no separate statement of unrecorded differences. Anything that we identified was recorded and reflected in the current financial statements. One was an increase in investment and deferred compensation plan and a corresponding increase in liability related to the 457 plan. And I realized this existed last year as well. However, last year was very, very immaterial. It was under our thresholds to even look at, to be honest. And so last year was not misstated. It was very immaterial. This year, obviously, as the plan assets grow, the dollars became larger. We looked at it. We did the analysis, worked closely with management, and we agreed that those assets and related liabilities should be reported on the financial statements. So those were put on as an asset and related liability. No change to your net position. It just was an in and out. I think you accidentally changed slides. Let me, Bart, if you can go to slide 7, I think it is, right, that one. The other adjustment was an adjustment to interest income. It was an interest income entry was recorded for a treasury bill that had matured it was an inadvertent error. We identified it and it was reversed. It shouldn't have been booked. So both of those adjustments were made. So steps to finalization, we have, since the financial statements that the committee has currently, we had a few minor changes in there, most of which were cosmetic, spacing, commas, things like that. One we did add to the management discussion analysis that I did want to point out, in table 4 in the MD&A, there was a table that showed the 2019 net position or the unrestricted net position. As part of the MD&A requirements, we should show 2 years. And so what we did, since the draft that the committee has, we popped in the 2018 table as well. So no changes to the 2018 table. We just pulled the 2018 and put it into the 2019 MD&A since it should show 2 years.
While you kept your breath there, I can show for the committee that are online what that table 4 looks like before. Okay. Here it is. Table 4 before was a net changes in position. With the states and administration separated, and it was only shown for 2019. What was done for, I can just show you now, I'll switch real quick here. What was shown for 2000, to include 2018, if you give me just a minute to go back. And Dean, you will not have this since you're not online, but instead of just having 2018 being displayed, you now have, and I'll put it full screen for you. There, you can see their table four has two schedules, 2019 at the top and then 2018 at the bottom. It's a little bit too much information to try to put 19 and 18 side by side and have it viewable. So this is the new schedule, the two schedules for table four that will replace the only single schedule in the prior table four. Is that correct, Joaquin?
Correct. And there was no changes to the 2018 information that was in last year's financials. So really just putting it in there.
Okay. So I'll go back to your slide. Is there anything else you need to say here?
Just finalization. We'll go through if there's any questions, if there are any changes to the financial statements, we can work through those. And then management has a management representation letter. I believe I've sent that. Jared, I can touch base with you after to go through. Once the board approves, we should be ready to issue the financial statements. I believe that's all I have. And I realize I talk fast. I've been told that a lot all the time. So if anyone has any questions, missed something, feel free to ask me any questions.
When you present to the board, will you go over the financials with us? You know, talk about the balance sheet, the statement of net assets, especially the cash flow.
Okay.
Okay. Yep.
Well, I will incorporate that in when we walk through the financial statements and take a deeper dive into the operations.
Okay, just a high-level summary.
Okay. Okay.
And any other questions for Joaquin, or if anyone would like to talk about a specific page from the report that was distributed to the committee that was a draft? And after we have this discussion and the final version will be developed and prepared for submission to the board.
Okay, the next item then is executive session. Do we have any items for executive session? Shelby, Jackie?
Dean, if I could just for a moment, before you leave item two, on page 2-2 of your briefing materials, there was a resolution to recommend acceptance of the financial audit to the board. The committee should consider that resolution.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the resolution?
Sorry, I'm trying to get there.
And Jim, if it's easier.
Which page is it on?
By 2-2.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I just was trying to find the page. Yeah. So moved.
Motion by Jim. Is there a second? That's your cue,
this is Patty.
Patty
McCandless. I'll second.
Okay. Motion by Jim. Second by Patty. Those in favor, aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. So we'll recommend to the board we accept the audit. And then back to executive session. Do we need an executive session?
I don't think so, Jim. I mean, Dean, sorry.
I've been called worse.
Bart, wouldn't this be the time that we offer the committee a chance to speak with the auditor without management present?
Yes, and that can be done in open session or executive session, but let's just do this. Does anyone on the committee feel the need for an executive session where they could have a discussion with the auditor without management and staff present?
No.
No.
No, I don't think we need it.
Okay, just want to make sure you had the opportunity. Then I don't see that you need a...
Say something, Dean.
Yeah, Jackie Shelby, did you have anything for executive session?
I don't. I don't either. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Then we'll just move on to item four.
Item four, five. Just for the record, Dean, we just need to say that item four was just if there was an executive session and there were any items that needed to take an action that was discussed in the executive session, that's what item four would cover. And so since there was no executive session, item four is not necessary. Now you can please go to item five.
Okay.
And also at this point, we can't excuse Bhakti. We don't, for the rest of the committee meeting. She's given her report.
But you're always welcome to stay, Bhakti, if you'd like to stay. You probably don't have any other clients. So.
Of course not. But thank you, everyone. We'll see everyone at the board meeting.
Thanks, thank you, Bhakti. Okay, now to look at the audit plan in item five. Is this where we put in the review of the network and stuff like that?
Yes, sir. And Chair Frigo, this is where you have the external network penetration testing, and you have it every other year. That was conducted in 19, so we did not include that in the draft in the audit plan for 2020. This audit plan has already been filed with the Commissioner of Insurance, but as always, the committee can amend the audit plan during the year, and we have this opportunity after receiving the audit report from the auditors. If there's anything that you've heard that would make you want to adjust that audit plan, staff does have an item that we'd like to talk to you about when you're ready that could go in the plan.
Well, go ahead, Bart.
Well, as you know, the association is subject to the GASB, and the Governmental Accounting Standards Board came out with a new guidance, and it's GASB 87. And it has to do with the treatment of leases, but I was going to ask Jarrett to make a couple of comments about it and where the enactment and the implementation of GASB 87 stands today, and then I'll provide you a recommendation of what we should do with it. So, Jarrett, if you could describe and give a little information on GASB 87.
Yeah, so GASB 87 pertains to leases and basically requires the association to recognize operating leases as capital leases. So we'll have to set up an asset, a corresponding liability, amortize the asset, and expense the lease payments over the period of the lease. It will impact anything, any reporting period after December 15, 2019. So that includes us beginning in 2020. But we have not completely incorporated the presentation of GASB 87 because we're still finalizing the presentation with the auditor, have them look at it, and we're still waiting on final guidance. In March, GASB did put out a note saying that they were considering postponing the implementation of GASB 87 due to the coronavirus and will let us know in May what their final decision is. So what we are anticipating is we will continue to implement GASB 87. We're hoping to have it ready by the July board meeting. And that's all.
Oh. Is it a discounted cash flow? Is that what you put on the balance sheet?
Yes, that's correct. So we'll discount the cash flows of the lease payments over the term of the lease.
What do you use for the discount rate?
Well, GASB gives a couple of different options. It's either the borrowing rate of the entity, or they have a complicated formula to figure out the discount rate. So that's one of the issues that we're working on with the auditor and within the association, is what discount rate to use.
Either that or need to go borrow some money.
Yeah.
So, Dean, based on that and where GASB stands and finalizing their guidance and implementation deadline, we would ask if the committee would amend this audit plan to add another bullet under the fall 2020 audit committee functions that would include and be worded review the implementation of GASB 87 regarding leases.
Do they encourage earlier application of this, Jared?
Jared.
Yes, they did. However, required implementation is supposed to happen in 2020. But like I said, GASB is kind of in flux right now on when they're going to actually require implementation because of the coronavirus.
Well, it's not going to be a significant number, I wouldn't think. All you got is an office lease, isn't it?
That's correct.
So, Dean, we can either amend this audit plan, or we're still going to do the work. It's just you want it stated in the audit plan.
Yeah, what do you think, Jim?
I think if Bart wants it stated in it, we can. Otherwise, I don't see how it's important. We don't have to state everything in it.
Okay. Patty, what do you think?
I'm still trying to get to that page in the board documents, but I defer to y'all on it. I mean, if it's not important, I mean, if it doesn't need to be documented.
Well, it doesn't have to be.
There, I could see that. So, would there a motion to add it?
Bart, do you want it in there or not?
Jim, it is not a true material number, but I do like having the record that the association is diligent in compliance with GASB. And this just shows that the committee is monitoring our compliance with GASB standards and pronouncements as they're enacted.
And I'm going to comment also that the auditor.
Go ahead.
Well, I would like to comment that the auditor will probably require us to put that in there in the next audit and for the 2020 statements.
Require to put it in what? Garrett, you're
that the auditor will request to implement. I'm sorry.
They're going to require you to implement, but does it have to be in the audit plan?
I'm losing audio. I'm sorry.
I'll answer, Jarrett, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Jim, the auditor is going to require some disclosure about that as, you know, as an accounting policy is adopted during the year. So it'll be in next year's audit, but it is not required that go in the audit plan.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to be a pest, but isn't the fact that it's in the minutes that we talked about it proof that we're concerned about it? I mean, there's got to be which GASB number is this?
87.
87.
Well, how come the other 86 ones aren't in the audit plan?
You're correct. There have been other changes in GASB over the years, they've required different disclosures.
Maybe you just put in that we monitor GASB for changes to rules or whatever and implement them as appropriate or as necessary.
Well, we will ensure that this discussion of GASB 80.
How about an item just to consider GASB updates in the audit plan?
Well, if you know, my concern is just having a record, and there will be a record in the minutes of this discussion. We can have an agenda item on the next board, excuse me, the next audit committee meeting that will be a review of GASB pronouncements and statements. And that's where we can provide you an update. So that will be a record. Is it truly an audit committee function? And that's what the audit plan is supposed to reflect, the functions of the committee. That's your decision. We'll do whatever you like.
Bart, and I'm trying to view the audit plan on my phone. So next time I realize I need to put the Dropbox app on my second computer because I'm trying to figure out how to negotiate with being online on my computer. But so isn't the audit plan, isn't there a catch-all for update? I mean, isn't there something that this would fall under already without it having to be every time there's an 87 or an 88 or an 89 that you have to reference it specifically? Or am I lost on what we're doing?
No, I was just looking for that, and you're right to ask. So
I don't think there is
one catch-all. Others not?
A bullet item to review all your accountants.
Is it a function of the accountants or a function of your audit committee?
Well, I think it comes under us to review these things.
Okay.
Okay, Patty, so you can see it. I'm going to put it up on screen for you. Here's the first page of the audit plan that was in the briefing materials.
Thanks, Bart.
And a lot of this has to do with working with the auditors and things that came out of the audit report. This was an item that we discussed with the auditor to make sure we are accurate in how it's reflected and how we make the changes in the financial statement presentation.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not a specific reference in the audit plan to GASB updates or GASB enactments. Let me switch to the next page. And as you can see, it has a lot of the specific functions and things that you need to do, but GASB is not stated in the audit plan.
And I think it really ought to be there to review GASB updates as they relate to the association.
So if we add it, then does it have to be updated and filed with TDI? Is it?
Yes, but that's not a big deal.
Okay.
No, well, it doesn't have to be approved. We just have to submit it,
right.
And it's a filing. It's an easy step.
Seems to me there should just be a bullet that's part of the process, but not specific to 87, but like Dean said,
okay.
Update based on any GASB changes that need to be incorporated in the next year's financial statements or whatever.
Bart, are there other things that get updated from time to time that either we need to mention or do we just – instead of saying, you know, specifically GASB, monitoring any updates that would affect the financial statements of the association.
That's a nice point,
mm-hmm.
Jackie. What we could do is have a bullet there to review with management any accounting adjustments or changes and impact on financial statement presentation.
That's what I would suggest. And if you want to specifically mention GASB, I think that's fine. But do you?
Any changes in accounting pronouncements, would that work?
Or shouldn't it be kind of like a catch-all, like, you know, the audit committee shall review and discuss or ensure compliance with any updates to GASB or regulatory changes or update, you know, some kind of just catch-all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That refers, because doesn't, can't TDI update the financial statement, or is everything in the TDI rules just referenced back to NEIC, or do they ever update the financial statement reporting rules that we need to refer? I'm rusty on all this stuff, to be honest.
Well, there's nothing there applicable to the association.
To
our accounting, okay. Our accounting presentation is purely for, through GASB, and
GASB,
then
okay.
The discretion. And the discretion of the board about the extent of disclosures, comments, things of that nature. But GASB dictates the format of the financials, but okay. In the footnotes in the MD&A, that's a lot of discretion of the entity. And we, as management, pull together a lot of that, but ask for guidance at times. Is this disclosure too much, too little? And we always review that with the board and sometimes counsel, because there can be privilege matters at stake.
Bart, why don't you suggest some the wording?
Well, I would, on 5.3 of that audit committee material, I would recommend that we, and I'll go to that page, right here, on page 5.3, under the Fall 2020 Audit Committee function, add a bullet at the end. Review accounting pronouncements and changes with management, including the impact on financial statements. Because there could be accounting changes that we're doing for tracking or just for showing the board that have no impact on the financial statements, then something like GASB 87 with the leases, it will have an impact on financial statements. Not substantial, but there will be an impact.
Do you need to mention IRS changes, or is accounting changes good enough? I guess you didn't mention GASB, so
no.
Maybe
I think accounting changes catches it.
Okay. So moved.
Motion by Jim to accept Bart's recommendation. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Patty. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Then I guess we'll go to item 6, expense, a review of the expenses and the budget variance report. Garrett, you want to point out the highlights on this? Or Bart?
Well, why don't I point them out, and Garrett, we need detail. You have all the details. But the most important thing, Jarrett made a point of pulling together a schedule, and I think it was very thorough. And I believe, Jarrett, that was anything. What was the threshold percentage on the variance?
It actually was every variance.
Okay.
I just included every variance.
So 6.3 through 6.6 in your briefing materials is a report that talks about the variances. I'm only going to mention a couple of the largest ones. Conferences, account 5030 is one we regularly see because we budget for a lot of board of directors attendance. We budget for a number of conferences. And as the schedule works out, that most directors can't attend all of those, but we want to leave them in the budget and encourage it if there's any way their schedule can accommodate. So this was a substantial under budget expense. The three items on the bottom of 6.3, dues and subscriptions, depreciation, and education and training, had a variance. Dues and subscriptions, that was the timing difference. One of our trade association dues, when the bill came in for the annual membership dues for 2020, we paid it in 19. So our 19 dues and our 20 dues were both paid in 2019. So we're going to make a point of delaying the payment on our membership dues and things like that until the year that for which the dues are applicable. But that was that variance. Depreciation was the item that the auditor talked about a little bit. This was an amortization adjustment that occurred actually in 2018, and the auditor did not mention it to us, or we would have changed it last year. But there was an underlying formulaic error in our depreciation schedule. We made a small adjustment there. I think the number was $12,000. Education and training has a lot to do with conferences when we budget over budget, but we also reclassed some things between conferences and education and training. If it was a training element, we moved it out of conferences into education and training. Just a couple more. Employee retirement. There was a longevity bonus there that was not recorded or was not in the original budget, but we did record it during the year. So it made a variance in the budget. And then at the bottom of page 6-4, all three of the items you see there, legal for administration and estate specific expenses and the national assessments, we had anticipated work would be performed there, and the work did not materialize. We had anticipated a couple of insolvency activities, and we thought a new insolvency was on the horizon, and it did not occur in 2019. So the legal expenses and the national assessments, which are the fees and expenses of NOLGA committees, just did not materialize. And then the last thing.
This is Patty. Oh, go ahead.
Yes. Go right ahead, Patty.
I was just going to ask on the variance on the national assessment that we thought, when I finally got all the materials up on my big, I have a huge monitor on another computer. Finally figured out how to do it. Was that for the ship Kinsinko that's now in rehabilitation that we thought might happen in 2019? Was that the one we thought that we had allocated expenses before?
Yes, that was part of it. There was also another one. And I won't mention it yet because it's not yet on our in our lap. But there was another company we thought was going to be put in liquidation by the Texas Department that would create some significant work for us. Didn't happen.
And it didn't happen. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm just trying to
That's
get
fine.
Oriented.
Well, that is really the biggest dollar amount out there, isn't it? Isn't it $1.4 million?
Yeah, that's definitely right. That's where most of our expenses come, is our share of expenses or expenses we incur in-house related to specific insolvencies. And the other, and this was the most significant variance in the budget report, on the last page on item 6-6, our professional services, we call it professional services estate. Those are the professional fees for work on a specific insolvent company. We had both actuarial and legal work, pretty significant actuarial cost to prepare for a possible insolvency. And that insolvency is still on the horizon. It has not yet been put into liquidation, and we're not yet activated for it. But the time of budgeting for 2019, we being the board of directors and the association, did not think they would have any protection or exposure to provide protection for that company. And during 2019, that changed. And so our budget did not include these professional fees. And Ms. Rickson, I don't think we should talk the name of the company yet, isn't that correct?
I agree.
But by the time we get to the board meeting on April 21st, maybe we can talk about it in public session, but we have disclosed this company in confidential sessions with the board. And those were the most significant items in the budget variance. A lot of this is, well, let me finish. A lot of this is, hang on just a sec, Jarrett, and then I'll let you chime. A lot of this, we try to forecast what's going to happen during the year, either activities on known problems and issues or issues that we think could arise. So there creates a difference between what we think we'll need to do, what we actually have to do, and then also the timing, when we have to do it. That accounts for a lot of the variance. All right, Jarrett?
Well, it's kind of along the lines you were just talking about. I would like to point out, first of all, that the difference in the national assessments is almost 93% of our total variance for the budget. And if you look at the ones that really have the big differences, it is mostly estate-related expenses that we can't control. So the one, for example, for the professional services, you know, we had no control over when those expenses were going to hit. And that was a big variance there, 804% within the account and 1.06% overall. So the items that we can control, the expenses we can control, we actually have much lower variance.
That's a good point. Thank you, Jared.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm trying to mute.
Anything else on the budget and the variance? It doesn't look like that's an action item, so do you want to move to item 7, which is consideration and possible action regarding the responsibilities and duties set forth in the committee's charter? Bart, do you have any suggestions?
No, I think you have a very thorough and complete charter, and the committee is functioning well within the bounds of that charter and fulfilling its responsibilities. So I have no suggested changes.
Jim, are you okay?
I'm okay. Don't need to change it.
Patty, okay. You got anything?
Nope, I'm fine.
Okay.
Looks good.
Does that item require a motion?
No, it will. No, that's just that the committee has reviewed its charter, and it'll be a reporting item that gets captured that you've conducted your annual review and do not feel anything warrants changing the charter.
Okay. Then last item 8 is our calendar. Does anybody have any thoughts on the calendar?
No.
Patty, are you okay with the calendar?
Yes. Can I ask you a question about it? So the audit committee meets less frequently, so it's just a twice a year meeting, or did y'all meet in January, or it's just twice a year we meet?
Right.
Okay.
I should point out that we have in the material, we say that the next meeting will be Monday, October 26th. But the calendar of activities that's attached actually shows that date to be the 19th. It should be the 26th. We shifted that back a week when we were planning at the last board meeting because there was a conflict. And this calendar of activities for the audit committee was not updated, although the date written in the materials, October 26th, is the correct date.
Do we need to change the calendar?
We will change that for you and post it for you to track,
you.
But we will make that change.
Any other changes to the calendar?
None for me. Patty?
Nope.
Okay, Jim and Patty are okay with the calendar? Unless somebody has something else, I'm going to adjourn. Okay, let me read the language. The time is 10:57 on April 2nd, and this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Board of Directors of the Texas Health and Life Insurance Guarantee Association that has been held pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act is adjourned. Thank you all for participating in the.
Thank you.